Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1 again today. And if you were here last week, we talked about, we're starting just a series for the summer. Not sure quite how long it's going to go yet. But Trending Now is the title of the series. And so last week we talked about man versus beast, Harambe. And so we talked about just the value of human life and the value of animal life, and just how we are made different than the animals. And so that all that came to the surface with the death of this gorilla, the boy that falls into the his enclosure there. So today we're going to talk about gender confusion. We all know that that has been in the social media, hasn't it? It's become a very heated debate. So that is where we're going to begin today. And I have to say that this was a very interesting study for me. Just as I did some research and gathered some facts and what it has to say. So gender confusion, or just this issue of gender, has been in the news. It's mainly come to the forefront because of the public restroom issue, right? North Carolina passed a law so that you have to use the restroom of the gender that you were born with. So in other words, if you were born a boy, you have to use the men's restroom. If you were born a girl, you have to use the girl's restroom, regardless of what you claim to be now or if you've had surgery to alter that. You have to use the bathroom of your birth gender, gender birth, however you want to say that. So that has caused a lot of turmoil, a lot of debate in North Carolina. Companies, professional teams have said, hey, we're going to boycott North Carolina. And then now you have people on both sides of the aisle, because there's parents and young and women that say, you know what, I'm not sending my young daughter into the men's into the ladies' restroom if I know that there's a man that could be going in there that thinks they're a woman, and so all those issues, and maybe even some women feel uncomfortable maybe using the women's restroom now, and so some have adopted that. Target is one of the stores that has adopted that policy, which is the politically correct one. You may come out on either side of that issue. Obama kind of stirred the pot even more by saying that schools, issuing a letter saying that schools would have to adopt that policy as well. And you can just think of how that would create turmoil even within our schools, right? Because even, I think most of the, if you look across even Nebraska, I bet in most of the schools you're going to have at least one or two or more students that are dealing with these gender issues. Okay, they haven't had the surgery or operation, but they're a boy claiming to be a girl or a girl claiming to be a boy. Okay, I know that our students here in Crete are dealing with that as well. And then last year was Bruce Jenner, right? Bruce Jenner, right? Did I say gender? That's a Freudian slip there, isn't it? Bruce Jenner, the great athlete, Olympic champion. He was. I remember when he was on the Wheaties box. Okay, is Wheaties even still out there? It is, right? Okay, but you know, Wheaties would always have that picture, and I remember when Bruce Jenner was on that. I was just a young kid at that point, and but he had an operation last year. Now goes by Caitlyn Jenner. We're going to talk more about that. Of course, that was a very high-profile case. Was in the news, a topic of a lot of discussion. Okay. And even ESPN has even gotten into it. They just did a story on this young lady that was an exceptional swimmer, okay, female swimmer, beautiful young lady, okay, great athlete, got a scholarship to college, full ride scholarship to go be a swim athlete at a college. But in the process of that, she decides that she's not a girl, she's a guy, gets the surgery, goes to college. Well, she can't compete as a female anymore, because technically she had the sex change, and so they still honored the scholarship, but now she'd have to be on the men's team. But now she can't compete competitively because she's really a female that has been changed to man. And so as far as anatomy, she doesn't have the muscle strength and some of those things to compete in a men's world. Okay? And so even in that article, it was kind of like, I don't know if she was having some huge adjustments, which we're going to talk more about. So it's definitely been in the media. So what does the Bible have to say about all this? What does the Bible have to say? I mean, we were talking about it at dinner one day, you know, somebody gets a sex change and then they get saved later on in life. And what does God want them to do with that? You know, when they get into eternity, are they going to be a man, woman? You know, how does all that affect some interesting issues? So I want us to go to Genesis 1:27. We covered this passage last week, but I want us just to focus on this one verse. Before we do, I just want us to bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce bone and marrow, divide the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And Father, we do turn to your Word today to shed light on something that is in our society, in our culture, and something that people are dealing with. And so we turn to your Word. We give you the thanks and the praise in your name we ask. Amen. In Genesis 1:27, it says simply, so God's the creation story. It says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. He created them male and female, he created them. And not only did that, he do that for human beings, but he also did that for the animals and even the plants. Okay, most living things have some way of reproduction. Okay, and I guess there's asexual and sexual beings, right? There's differences there as far as taking two, a man and a woman, and some of them can reproduce on their own. Okay. There's differences that way. But it's built into the fabric of creation, this idea of having a male and a female. And it is true of human beings. We are created in the image of God. Now, we talked about that last week, that we are not created to look like God because God is spirit, right? Now, you can say you look like God, okay, but God would have to look like a lot of different people, right? The way we look like God is that we were made like him, to have fellowship with him and a relationship with him, and that he placed his spirit within you. When you leave this earth, okay, time for God to take you home, either in the resurrection or it's your time to go, your body dies, it goes into the ground, but your spirit, your soul goes into eternity, okay? And at the resurrection, then our body is reunited with our soul and it either goes into heaven or hell, okay? But your soul never dies. It's eternal. And as the animals don't have a spirit or a soul, okay? We love them to death, our pets, right? We love them to death. But when they pass from this earth, Karen's covering her ears. When they pass from this earth, they don't go to doggy heaven, okay? They don't have a spirit or a soul, okay? But you do. And you're created in the image of God to reason, to think, to be able to have a relationship with the God of the universe and the Creator. You're created like Him. When we look at the creation story, we see that God created male and female. And it refers to the sexual function of human beings, okay? When a child is born, we determine the sex, right? So the baby comes out, okay? All right, pops out. Sometimes it don't always pop out as easily as you would like them to. But the first thing they do, right, you look, and is it a boy or is it a girl, okay? And we usually do, we have a simple test, right? We look at their external genitalia, right? You can tell if it's a boy or a girl pretty easily, right? And so then the birth certificate will say either boy or it'll say girl. Now, in human beings, I didn't know this, but in human beings, biological sex is determined by five factors, okay? So it's more than just what seems to be on the external. It's actually five things that are included in the biological sex of a human being. All right, so the first is the absence of the Y chromosome. Okay, so a woman has two X chromosomes and a male has a Y and an X chromosome pair. So they're not the same. Did you know that? Tessa probably knows that. All right, why? I don't know. Okay? All right. But that is, yes, so biologically, if you do the test, you know, you can find out if male or female based upon just their chromosomes. The type of glands or gonads, okay, that a person has, that is part of the biological test. The sex hormones, okay, male and female have similar hormones, but the big difference is women have a lot more estrogen and proestrogen, okay, that gives them woman-like features, okay? Men have more, what? Testosterone that gives them male-like features, okay? And so when people go through the sex change, they try to alter those hormones to bring about the different qualities. The internal reproductive anatomy, not as obvious as the external, right? Okay? But women have a uterus and ovaries. Men don't have that, okay? But that is necessary for childbirth, right? Okay? Not as always obvious from the outside, but inside the internal. And then, of course, the external genitalia. Those are the five things for biological sex to determine that. Now, when you refer to genetic sex of a child, you're only looking at one thing, and you're looking at the chromosomes. Okay, do they have the pair of X chromosomes, or do they have the Y and X? And so when they talk about the genetic sex of a child, they are just looking at that piece of information solely. Okay, so when you're talking about the sex of a child, that seems to be very focused, narrow definition. Where it seems like we get a broader definition is when we use that word gender. Okay? Gender also means the same thing as the sex of a child. It refers to the reproductive function, whether they're male or female. But gender also has a secondary definition, and I'm going to read it here so I get it right, that sees gender outside the male and female binary class and is based on an individual's personal awareness or identity. And I believe that's, in our culture right now, that is what we are dealing with, because it's not so much that, oh, okay, that person is biologically a male or biologically a female. It's that they identify saying, you know what, I'm a female, but I think I really identify with being a male. Or I'm a male and I identify more with a female, okay? It is that classification and definition that I think our culture is dealing with. And as we talk about that, I want us to look at gender stereotypes. If you open up a psychology book, we all took psychology, right? Probably in college, and do we take that in high school? A little bit, right? It's part of science. But this part is covered, the stereotypes, gender stereotypes. Now, if you don't like these or not, these aren't mine. These are just psychology, okay? Okay, so some differences. Males tend to be controlling, manipulating in their environment. They're independent, assertive, dominant, and competitive. Okay, that is the stereotype. Some of the women, well, anyway. Okay, females, passive, loving, sensitive, and supportive in social relationships, especially in their family, wife, and mother. And I think society sometimes wrestles with that. There's women, the women's movement kind of said, you know what, we can be assertive too, and we can take charge. And sometimes we've wrestled with those stereotypes, okay? What they have found is that these stereotypes, for the most part, are true cross-culturally, okay? So it's not just America. What are some physical differences? Girls tend to be advanced physically more than men. They mature quicker, all right? So in the high school years, right, a young lady is going to mature quicker than a male. Male doesn't mature until their early 20s, where a young lady is usually the late teens. They've reached maturity, okay? Boys have larger lungs and a heart. I don't know if you knew that or not. Typically, there are superior activities involved in gross motor activities and strength. Okay, as a general whole, men are just stronger and more athletic, okay, than a female, okay? But what you know what else? Men, boys, are more open to more developmental disorders such as ADHD, speech defects, mental retardation. And it has to do with that XY chromosome deal, okay? Women have less cases of that. Also malnutrition. Men can't, you know, boys can't get enough to eat, right? All right. Boys typically are more physically active in preschool. There's just more energy there. And we've had all boys, you know, and it's just like, you know, there's times after you know, supper, it's just like the house becomes a racetrack or whatever. I mean, it's just rolling in the house, you know, and they're wrestling, they're tumbling, they're racing around the house. Girls just tend to be not as much that way, you know. Josh and Karen, okay, we're waiting for the boys to come here, okay? All right. Okay, and if you've had some of each, you know the differences between boys and girls. There's typically those differences that are there. All right. Girls tend to have more intimate friends. Boys tend to have large number of guy pals, but they're not as intimate and confiding relationships, they say. What are the cognitive, okay? Girls are much more verbal, and they have better verbal skills. Is that a surprise to anybody? I mean, they speak much more. I mean, women just speak much more verbally than a guy ever will. So I don't think that's trained. That's the way it is, the way God created us. Boys have better visual spatial ability, and so they can read maps better. They can aim at a target better. Isn't that interesting? Now, these are all stereotypes. I'm taking this out of psychology, okay? So okay. Social differences. Boys can be more aggressive, more physical aggression, more apt to direct verbal assault. Boys take more risks. They enjoy that sensation of curiosity, such as crawling through a fence and falling into a gorilla escapement. Okay? He was a boy, right? Very curious, okay? Girls are more compliant with the demands of parents and teachers. Some of you, I think, are. Girls tend to be more nurturant and dependent. Some women wouldn't like that, but that's psychology here, okay? Kids go through three stages, I want to touch upon this, of developing this gender of who they are. First of all, it comes in the ages between 2 and 3. This is called the gender identity phase. By age 2, they recognize that, hey, there's a difference between a male and a female by how they dress, by how they behave. They begin to associate, yeah, there's a difference between mom and dad. They're not the same. There's a difference there, okay, by age 2. By age 3, they begin to identify themselves either with mom or with dad based upon their own sex, okay? They begin to make that connection that, hey, this is where I belong. This is kind of where I fit. So that is the gender identity stage. Then you have the gender stability stage, which happens at ages 4 to 5. It is then that the child accepts the main idea that males remain male, females remain female. Okay, and this occurs between ages 4 and 5. There's still some gaps in that understanding, but they're kind of getting the gist of that. By age... after that, then you have the gender consistency after age 5 into 6. There they recognize that superficial changes in appearance and activities will not change a person's gender, okay? So if a guy wears a dress, it doesn't make him a female, okay? Clinger, remember Clinger on MASH, right? Tried to get out, and so you dress in a dress to hopefully get out, okay? But the kids begin to understand that it's not dress, or if a girl plays with trucks, right? Is there any girls here that say, hey, you played with trucks instead of dolls? You admit it? Okay, a few of you. Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay. And we're going to talk more about that here, too. But you begin to realize that doesn't make you want to, just because you have maybe some things that are not gender appropriate, that's the key word there, that doesn't change your gender. All right. Between months 15 and 36, toddlers have clear preferences for toys that are gender appropriate. Okay? So in other words, girls tend to play with certain toys and boys tend to play with certain toys, and girls are more apt to play with inappropriate gender inappropriate toys than boys. Did you know that? So girls are more apt to play with trucks and do other things, guns and other stuff, than boys tend to play with dolls. So that's what this says. All right. Based upon data, survey data, boys in the U.S., this is U.S. kind of looking at, they like guns, boxing, wrestling, karate, team sports, fixing and making things more than girls. Now, guns, you know, It was kind of that phase where, you know, when I grew up, you know, parents did the right thing and they got their boy a cap gun, right? How many had a cap gun, right? Yeah, all right. You know, that's not probably the politically correct thing nowadays, right? But back then it was okay. But we found out even if you don't provide them cap guns, they find things to make guns out of. Chip clips. They work great guns. You know, you just grab a hold of them and they make a great gun. Okay? Our boys, they made guns out of all sorts of things. It's branches, sticks, whatever. Girls, they found out, prefer dolls, sewing, cooking, dancing, and looking after younger children more than boys. This is an interesting statement. In general, males have a more clearly defined stereotype. There's a narrower range of activities considered gender appropriate for males. Okay? Boys who play with girl toys or retreat in the face of aggression fear derision. They fear they get made fun of. They get scoffed at. Okay, when they do things that are outside their stereotype. Although we tend to tolerate tomboys, in other words, girls that kind of like to do boys' things. We tolerate them, but we reject sissies. And this is a quote, okay? That combination comes from parents, it comes from peers, and it comes from society. So especially for males, for boys that tend to want to go outside that gender stereotype, there seems to be a lot of resistance from culture, from parents, from peers, that you don't fit into the general stereotype. And I think that really is an issue. It really is an issue, folks. Because some of you have said, you know what? Yeah, I'm a man, but I enjoy cooking or sewing or doing some things like that. Or you maybe say, you know what, I'm a woman and I enjoy hunting, fishing, I enjoy wrestling, or maybe, you know, you have the one that enjoys football and things like that, playing it, not just watching it. And I think there lies the issue that people sometimes push against those stereotypes and they don't feel like they're fixed in one gender or the other, okay? And everybody wants to know where they fit, don't they? Don't we all want to know where we fit? Yeah, where we belong. And so those who seek a sex change, there's a dominant theme that they don't feel like they fit where they're at. And so they're searching for happiness, and they're hoping that this change will solve some of the inner struggle that they're facing. And so I want us to look at Scripture, and then we're going to come back to a few examples at the end here. But I want us to look at Scripture. Gil read the passage earlier from Psalms 139. In verses 13 through 16, it says, David says, "You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, O God. My soul knows it full well. My frame was not hidden from you in the secret place. It was intricately woven in the depths of the earth." Just think what David is writing here under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book they are written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet none of them were yet reality," right? They hadn't come to be. "I am a firm believer that God does not make mistakes." God does not make mistakes. Now, we don't live in a perfect world, folks. We live in a world where there are birth defects. We live in a world where there's sickness, there's disease, there's health issues. I know that. In the area of hunting, if you get a deer hunting tag, it doesn't say male or female. It doesn't even say buck or doe anymore. It says what? Antlered and antlerless. Why? Well, because sometimes the little buck, he only has, you know, like this, and he gets shot. Well, he's actually a male, but you couldn't see his antlers. But even out there, you can shoot this monster buck, and then you go to gut it out and go, huh, something's missing here. It's a doe, but it has antlers, okay? And you know what? Things happen like that in the human world, too. There are some of those cases, and those are even more in-depth than probably what we're going to cover. But those things do happen. We don't live in a perfect world. We all have a desire to be happy and find purpose and meaning. And I think far too many people in our world want to be something that they're not. You ever want to become something that you're not? How many wanted to become a movie star? Movie star, Barb. Did you want to become a movie star? You wanted to become a singer, right? Okay? Okay? Do you have the voice for it? Do you have the voice for it? Yeah? All right. All right. The voice is taking applicants, okay? All right. Sometimes we want to be an athlete. We want to be a movie star. We want to be somebody famous. And, you know, in the rare case, we do have those talents and abilities, but in most cases, we don't. And we can try to be something we're not, but it's just only going to many times lead to frustration. When it comes down, we teach that class, the giftings class, where we talk about finding your divine design, just being who God created you to be, to use the gifts and the talents that He wove to you when you were in that secret place in your mom's womb, to be the person, the temperament, the gifts, the talents. There's only one you, so be it. Be the person that God has called you to be. You know what? If you're a woman that likes to fix diesel trucks, go for it. Be the best mechanic out there. If you're a guy out there that is one of the best designers for clothing or other things that sometimes is maybe more female dominant, be it. Be who God has called you to be. It doesn't mean you have to be something other than what you are. David was in awe of his Creator and how God had created him. And we can find contentment if we embrace what God has created us with, our personality, our gifts, our talents, and be the best version of us that we can be. We will be frustrated if we try to be something that we are not, or to be someone that society says that we should be. And in the matters of gender, maybe you think you're not the typical lady or a typical man. Is that wrong? I don't think it is. And I think it's sometimes these stereotypes. There are stereotypes. There's generalizations. But you guess what? We don't always fit within sometimes those stereotypes. But that doesn't mean that, hey, I'm a different gender. It just means that maybe, you know what? You're a little bit different than the average woman. You're a little bit different than the average man. And I think if we can embrace how God has created us, how can God use that for His glory, for His purpose? I think He can use that. I think of some women that maybe probably haven't fit into the mold of being a woman. But there's been some great women pioneers out there. Even in Scripture, a Deborah. I don't think Deborah, being a judge, I don't think she was the typical woman. She was out there, she was leading men, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Please don't take that wrong. But in a very much male-dominated society in the Old Testament, women were not given much of a chance at all to lead. And she went to the forefront and led the people of Israel and was sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Embrace who God has called you to be. Be who God created you to be. Be you and let God use the characteristics for His glory. Secondly, find your identity in Christ. That was in your program here. Find your identity in Christ. I think often we try to find our identity in other things, our work, our friends, and maybe even our gender. We have to find our identity, right? We're looking for who we are. And if we don't find our identity in Christ, you might not be dealing with gender things. You might be dealing with other things, but if you don't find your identity in Christ, you're always going to be looking to your work. Okay, that's a big one. People try to find their identity in their work. And if they lose their job or something happens in their work, they're lost because they no longer know who they are because their work is no longer there. Because that's their identity. And so success and failure impact who they are. It can either make them feel more than they are or less than who they are because they don't have their identity in Christ. Maybe even be a mom or a dad, you find your identity in that. Your friends. Hey, I have to be with the cool friends. Why? Because then I feel like somebody. That's my identity. Because I fit into that group. Culture and society, we try to find that identity. This is what Paul says in Galatians 4, 6 through 7. Paul says, and because you are sons, he's speaking of God here, because you are sons, and you can either use daughters, because the idea here is we're God's children, okay? So you can say either sons or daughters. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, or Father, Father, very intimate. So you are no longer a slave, but you are a son. You are a daughter. You are a child of God. And if you are a son, then you are heirs through God. And see, that's the thing of you being a believer in Christ, is that you have an identity that supersedes anything else. You know who you are. You may lose your job. You may lose your friends. Society may call you an outcast. But you know what? You have been saved and you are a child of His. You are a child of His. And as believers in Christ, we have to nail down that our identity is in Christ. That we belong to Him. We're His child. And we belong to Him. He's our Father. He loves us just the way we are. And at times when culture doesn't seem to understand us, society, friends, people don't understand who we are, He understands us. He formed us. He created us. He knows who we are. And He calls us His own. And we have to come back to that truth that we are His sons and His daughters. And our identity comes from Him. We all want to be loved. We all want to have that place where we belong, that we're accepted for just who we are, right? That's deep. When you look at psychology, that's deep. We all want to be loved. We all want to be embraced and loved for who we are. And at times, we don't love ourselves. We don't like ourselves. But guess what? God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Regardless of the things around us. I want to close with a couple examples. You can find these on the internet. But in the 70s, gender reassignment surgery is what they called it, came to the forefront. There was a couple doctors that were really pushing it. Dr. Money was just, it sounds just like it's spelled, Money, was one that was really pushing it in the 70s. And if you do some research, David Reimer is a name that's going to come up. And I think you got a picture of him, David Reimer. But David Reimer had a twin brother. They were born twins. Things were going along well, but at month 8, they had a health issue, and they thought it would be resolved through circumcision. Okay? And so they took him to the doctor to get circumcised. David, unfortunately, was the first one to be circumcised. And typically they use a knife to remove that foreskin. But in this case, they used, I don't know, like a hot knife or something like that. It was kind of like a laser, whatever. And I don't think this doctor was experienced. It sounds like the doctor wasn't experienced. Anyway, he tried to do the circumcision. He totally mutilated this young baby boy. His genitalia was ruined. And so they chose not to circumcise the other boy. The situation ended up taking care of itself on their own. But now the parents had to deal with, they had a son. His genitalia was just totally mutilated because of what this doctor had done. And they wrestled. They were just tore to the heart. And they said, what should we do? And as they were watching TV one day, this doctor came on, had a special interviewing a person that had gone through gender reassignment surgery, is Dr. Money. And they thought, you know what, maybe there's some hope that maybe we can reassign the gender of our young boy. And they talked with the doctor, and he had him come down, and they said, yeah, you know what, we'll do the surgery, and we'll change his hormones. He'll never know anything different. Well, you raise him as a girl, and he'll never know the wiser. And they were wanting to do the best thing for their young boy. And so that's what happened. They did the surgery, they did hormone replacement, and they tried raising him as a girl. But there was warning flags. Dr. Money was not refusing to look at it, but there was signs because they got him dresses, they got him dolls, but guess what? He wanted to play with his brother's trucks, right? And no matter what they did, it just wasn't happening. And at age 14, Dave, he was called Brenda, was so frustrated. He went to his dad and he says, Dad, what's up? What's wrong? Something's not right. And the dad broke down and explained to him everything that had taken place of what had happened. And for the first time in his life, it made sense. It made sense to this young man what had happened, what had taken place. And so over the years, he stopped taking the female hormones. He eventually got had surgery so that he had male genitalia. He actually got married when he was when he was 25. They adopted two kids. He grew up in Canada. You can find a story. It's on YouTube, several episodes on YouTube. But when he, a few years later, his, I think he was in his 40s or 30s, his twin brother took his own life, dealt with depression. His twin brother took his own life. And that really threw Dave into a tailspin. Over the next 2 years, he left his wife, his kids, and eventually ended up taking his own life at the age of 38. He never blamed his parents. He understood that his parents were trying to do the best thing for him, but he said there was just an anger with him that he could not get away from, that parts of his body were cut off and thrown into the wastebasket, into the trash can. It just left some deep psychological, emotional scars in his life that he was never able to recover from. So that's David Reimer. We talked about just briefly about Bruce Jenner. We have a picture of Bruce. You know, I remember when he was this decathlon athlete. Can you bring up that picture, Chris? There you go. And then he had the surgery last year, Caitlyn Jenner. But if you look, he... sources say that it's very possible that he's going to change back within the next year, two, 3 years, because he is not happy with the decision that he made. He's still attracted to women, he says, is what the sources say. He's been married 3 times, has 6 kids. But, you know, that was the headlines last year. Of that, and everybody wants to report, you know, ooh, this was a success, and you can change, but you can change the looks through surgery and stuff like that and do the hormones, but I think deep down he realizes he's still a man, and that can't be changed. There's still that chromosome difference, folks, and the changes that are there. The last example I want to refer to is Walt Heyer. It's H-E-Y-E-R, and I encourage you to, if you want to do your own research, but Walt Heyer, when he was 42 years old, he was convinced that he was a man, he was a woman trapped in a man's body, and so he had surgery, and he lived 8 years as a woman, all right, but immediately he had regret, okay, which is very common with people that have the surgery. And he lived 8 years as a woman, then he got the surgery to become a man again, revert back. But he spends all of his life now, he's 74, he spends his life now just talking about the dangers of all this, okay, of the surgery and all that. And what he doesn't do is he's not avoiding the deep psychological issues that are present in people. But he's trying to give them other options. Because what he has found out is that 40% of people that have had gender reassignment surgery is a 40% suicide rate. That's high, folks. 40%. 40%. 80% have deep psychological issues, dysfunction, that is not resolved by the surgery. They think that it's going to solve this unhappiness in their life of them being able to fit in, and they get the surgery, but you know what? It still doesn't answer the question. It still doesn't solve the issue that they're dealing with. It doesn't change anything. And that's why they have the regret. 80% deal with that. And so he dealt with it in his own life. He's written several books. He just, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. He almost seems like he could be by some of the things that I glanced at. But he really ministers to people that are going through this, helping people not only to say, hey, don't do it, but to maybe get to the deeper issue and helping them realize that, you know what, you can get the surgery, but it's still not going to take care of some of the stuff that you're dealing with. Okay? If you know your Christian bands, there's a group out there called Switchfoot. from California, and they sing a song called Restless. And it's based off of Augustine's statement written in his book, Confessions. Augustine was raised in the church, the early church. He's one of the early church fathers, if you look at church history. But Augustine was raised in the church, but then he had to go out and sow his wild oats, all right? Even when he was going to seminary, he was doing other things he wasn't supposed to be doing, okay? Sleeping with women and doing other things. He was restless. He was searching. And this is what Augustine says. He says, "Thou hast formed us for thyself." In other words, referring to God. "God, you have formed us for yourself. And our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. I'm going to have the musicians come. You know, and I, as we talk about a subject like we are, it's a very sensitive issue. I haven't dealt with, you know, ever feeling like, hey, I'm a woman, okay? I've dealt with other things, you know, just feeling like, where do I fit, right? I've dealt with some of those things. What's my meaning and purpose in life? I've been there. I haven't dealt with that. But for people that do deal with that, I know even just going through the schools, the stereotyping that goes on, and some of the guys saying, you know what, I'm not some of the typical guys, you know, I don't like football, I don't like, maybe the women sometimes face some of those same issues. I go, where do I fit? Where do I belong? Maybe I'm not truly a guy, maybe I'm not truly a woman. There's a longing in hearts, I believe, in all of us for something more that goes beyond us, that's more powerful. And our hearts can only become complete. Our minds, our spirit can only become complete when we find our rest in God. And Augustine is right when he points out that our completion is not found in romance, it's not found in wealth, material things, it's not found in our gender, it's not found in higher learning, but it's found in the one who formed us and created us, who knit us together in our mother's womb. Amen. Would you stand this morning? Would you stand this morning? I'm going to lead us in a prayer, just a prayer of salvation. If your soul hasn't found rest in God this morning, and there's a restlessness, a searching, maybe it has to do with your gender, but maybe it's totally something else. But your heart is restless and needs to find its home in God this morning. Would you just join us in this prayer? Make it your own, but invite Christ into your heart and life. Let's just pray together. Would you join me in saying, "Dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Help me to find my home in you." In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you prayed that this morning, would you just find me and let me know you prayed that prayer? Josh and Karen, if you can be able to help at the back, Gil and Emily, they'll be back. If you have a need or request this morning, they will pray with you, agree with you in prayer this morning. And just believe in with God for whatever need you may have. Let us close with this chorus. We sang it earlier, but I think it ties in well with not only with Father's Day, but with the message. We were driving down the road last week to go fishing, and my dad was there and Mark was there, but the song came on the radio, and my folks have been here many, many times, but when this song came on, my dad turned up the radio, and you know, he's 78, but I could tell this song just really ministered to him, and he didn't have the perfect father. He had a good father, but his father was an alcoholic, was very abusive to the kids when he was alcoholic, took the life of my grandma when he came home drunk one night. So at age 12, my dad did not have a mother. And his dad would spend the rest of his life in prison. Didn't always have the best role model. Never finished high school, got his GED. Didn't have the perfect life, but he was able to find his rest in God when he finally came to know Christ through family that loved God and invited him. Folks, we all have to find that rest in God, amen? And so let the song minister to you and just reach out to God. You know the need in your own heart this morning. Would you just reach out to him?